What's your best guess as to what was in those envelopes?
Well,
incidentally, you never opened them, did you?
No, never. It never would have occurred to me to open them. I felt that Jack had entrusted me with something that was very important to him. And I was very, in love with him at the time. And I was very proud that he had asked me and put his trust in me to do something for him.
What do you think was in them?
Well, I think that it's easy to speculate now, and that's all it is speculation. But since all the information has come out about the assassination plots, at least after he was in the White House, I do assume that the possibility is that it had something to do with the assassination plots against Fidel Castro.
You also revealed that on the occasion of this dinner at the Georgetown home, the request for you to contact Mr. Giancana in behalf of the president was for the purpose of helping the president in the West, in the critical, pivotal West Virginia primary.
His exact answer was, when I asked him, I said, why do you want me to? And I said, or should I ask? He said, I think he can help me in the campaign, in my campaign.
Now let's review this. This information suggests that the mob participated and in some way encouraged or promoted the election of the victory of John F. Kennedy in West Virginia. Probably money, payoffs. Mm-hmm. Do you have any doubt that the mob was influential in John F. Kennedy's victory in Cook County, Illinois?
No, I really don't. And again, you know, I have to speculate with the information I have and collectively then with everyone else's information, the puzzle starts to fit, the pieces start to fit. I do know that some of the information that Kitty has as far as underworld money, even in West Virginia, Ovid Damaris supplied her with some of that information.
You're a co-author of your autobiography.
Yes, and I have only recently just found out that he supplied her with some of that information, some of the wiretaps that he had that are in black and white to what took place.
All right, let me just try and sum this up now. Under these trying conditions here in Burbank, with our lights out and with a substandard picture, let me just plot ahead and see if I've got this. The information you're sharing with us suggests that mob money helped Jack Kennedy win the West Virginia primary. Mob influence and money promoted a very narrow 8,000 vote margin victory in Cook County, Illinois, a critical victory for the president in the general election. You also transmitted information, you speculate, and it's not unreasonable that this speculation is certainly not unreasonable, that assisted in a plot to assassinate Fidel Castro. The mob's interest in knocking off Castro is hardly a mystery. Castro closed their gambling casinos in Havana.
Well, and it has, you know, it's documented that the CIA
yes.
did hire them.
Robert Mayhew, an aide mm-hmm. to Howard Hughes, said on this program that he was in a hotel room in Miami Beach discussing with mob figures the assassination of Fidel Castro. Mm-hmm. At the same time, you were seeing President Kennedy in an intimate way. Later, you were to see Sam Giancana in an intimate way.
For a very short time, when my relationship with Jack in 1962 had become very difficult for both of us. He wanted me to move to Washington, and I didn't want to. I had always been troubled that he was a married man. It was not my upbringing. It's not my nature. Unfortunately, my heart ruled my head at the time, and we became very impatient with each other. He was impatient with me that I wouldn't run back there every time he wanted me to, and we had a dwindling of caring for each other, really. And when it ended, in the middle of 62, by that time, I was doing so much for Jack and seeing Sam and talking to Sam for Jack, he became a good friend of mine, and I fell into a very short relationship with him, and he was more or less an emotional security blanket. But let me point something out. Someone said something to me the other day. They said, you know, had you had three boyfriends in your life, no one would think twice about it. All right, she had three relationships in her life. it's the names of these people that
Frank Sinatra, John F. Kennedy, and Momo Giancana. Those are three names,
yes,
all right.
Absolutely. All right. I was brought up around well-known people, so
but
that wasn't unusual for me.
But let us examine the political consequences,
yes,
of this drama. We've got here the obvious, and J. Edgar Hoover took Jack Kennedy, the President of the United States, to lunch and said, "You better quit this." I wasn't there, but it, certainly that had to be part of the message. But Sam Giancana, in whatever conversation might have transpired between him and the president or him and you, certainly would have had more power over the President of the United States in terms of blackmail and potentially embarrassing information than proud America would want the mob to have over the White House.
Absolutely. But that was his decision. Why he made it, I don't know. But that was his decision.
You say you, on the, while there were 10 occasions that Jack Kennedy asked you to transmit information to Giancana, on only one occasion were you in the presence of both Sam Giancana and Jack Kennedy.
No, there was another time in New York at the Navarro Hotel. I had an apartment in the Navarro Hotel.
So you were with both of them twice?
Yes.
Socially? The incident that I referred to was at the Ambassador East Hotel in Chicago.
Yes.
Jack and Sam were talking, and you absented yourself from the room.
Yes, I asked Jack, Sam arrived, and Jack arrived later.
Was he president at the time?
No, yes, that meeting he was. So, and that was the reason he really did not want me to leave the room, because the Secret Service were out in the hall.
So you went into the bathroom, closed the door, and sat on the edge of the tub.
Yes.
You're obviously in no position then to convey what might have transpired between the head of the mob and the President of the United States at that moment.
Thank God for me. Mm-hmm. I don't think I would be here if I had that information.
Mm-hmm. What are you friends with Kitty Kelly, and what happened in your relationship in the development of this People story? Let me say what you told me. You are upset that Ms. Kelly revealed that you were paid $50,000 for the People piece. Time, Inc. paid $100,000 for this piece, as we read, and you and Kitty Kelly split the fee. Mm-hmm. Your understanding was that this was to be kept confidential.
Well, that was at People's request. They didn't want, it was part of the contract that it was not to be revealed, and that was their request.
Right. What, if any, problem do you have with Kitty Kelly at this moment?
Well, my difficulty with Kitty has...
Excuse me, we've got lights here. Sorry. If you joined us late, we're struggling with lights in Burbank, but appears we are struggling no more. And we can only speculate how thrilled you are that you get to see me much more clearly now. Mrs. Exner, you were saying...
My difficulty with Kitty, it really, I think, is partially a clash of personalities between the two of us. And the way she saw the story to be written was entirely different than what I wanted said. She wanted sexually explicit material in there, and in fact, when I objected, she did submit it anyway to People. And fortunately, People magazine felt the way I did about the piece, that they didn't want that in the article either.
But there's nothing in the People piece that's untrue.
No, there aren't any.
Antoinette Giancana, the daughter of the late mobster, is in print saying that your assertion that you were a conduit to the mob is probably not true, because first of all, her father hated Jack Kennedy, and for that and other reasons, she finds your story incredible. How do you respond to Mr. Giancana's daughter's assertion?
Only that his daughter would have been the last person in the world that he would have said anything about this to. Sam Giancana didn't reach the level that he did in the kind of business he was in by confiding in People. And it is well known that those men, their families don't know anything about their business. They're never confided in. And I can understand her defending her father, but I'm sure that's what she feels she's doing, but I think most people would feel pride. They would feel just the opposite. They would feel pride that the president requested their help.
Right. Antoinette makes the point that her father bragged about, "I saw Frank." I just met Johnny Desmond. If he had met the President of the United States, he would have bragged to the family, and she said he didn't. And that leads her to believe that your story.
Well, Antoinette knew, Sam knew Frank for, you know, they were close for many, 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 many years. So she naturally would have been aware of that.
Well, Mrs. Exner, I'm going to ask you to bear up for just a bit here. You tell us that People Magazine, that Kitty Kelly wanted a lot of explicit material in People Magazine, and apparently People Magazine vetoed the inclusion of certain erotic material in their article.
You're really not going to read that kind
well,
of thing
just take
the
a
book,
moment.
Are you?
Well, this is your book, Mrs. Exner, and I ask you to just, if you'll give me a moment to review some of the information in the book that you published in 1977.
Written by Ovid Damaris. And you have to understand something, that when you tell a story to someone, and the publisher has a great deal to say about what goes in that
book. But you have final cut.
Oh, to a certain degree, only to a certain degree.
You are in the Beverly Hilton Hotel, and it is at the moment of the Democratic Convention in this city in 1960. Jack Kennedy is appearing to gather the delegates needed for the nomination, but it is not yet a fait accompli. I believe this is the night before he was nominated. You go to the room where Jack is in the company of a number of people, and you notice a woman circling, as you say, like a bird of prey. These are your words. Jack came over and said, I'm sorry about the mix-up, but everybody's going now. Just hold on, because I want to spend some time alone with you. He went back, and people started drifting out. As much as he wanted them to leave, he still had something personal to say to each, and he bid them all goodbye. The only person left is Kenny O'Donnell, who you tell us in this passage looks very nervous. Jack took my hand and said, we should say that while this is happening, delegates for Jack Kennedy are coalescing at the convention center.
Yes.
All the phones are ringing, the backroom stuff, Daley and the Chicago delegates, everybody's getting ready to name Jack Kennedy the Democratic standard bearer. Jack took my hand and said, let's go into the other room. I want to talk to you. We went into the bedroom and sat on the end of his bed. As I looked up, I saw the tall, thin woman was standing at the other end of the room. She gave me a little smile and went into the bathroom, closing the door. While I was trying to figure out what she was doing there, I heard Jack say something about the three of us going to bed together. I will never remember his exact words because I just couldn't believe my ears. I think I said something like, oh God, Jack, how could you? He said, but it's all right, don't be afraid, I know you'll enjoy it. I thought, oh Lord, what's wrong with me? He tried to kiss me and I pulled away. There was an anxious look on his face and I could see that he was puzzled by my rejection. I was crushed, I just couldn't believe it. He never stopped talking. He assured me the girl was safe, that she would never talk about it to a single soul, and there was nothing wrong with a menage a trois, that it was practiced widely and over again, that I would enjoy it. I know you'll enjoy it. You finally got out of that. You rejected
yes, I did.
This idea. You stand by this story, however.
Yes.
Oh, this makes Gary Hart look like a Boy Scout.
Very possibly, because you don't know everything about Gary Hart, you know.
Well, let's just review some of the drama here, Mrs. Exner, because Teddy Kennedy made a pass at you while you were seeing his brother.
When I first met.
Kenny O'Donnell made a pass at you. In the car, he moved close to you and you opened the door and fled. Jack and Trotter made a pass at you. Not necessarily simultaneously, you had at this general time frame, 1960-61, an intimate relationship with Frank Sinatra, Sam Giancana, and Jack Kennedy. In view of, and incidentally, this information is all on the record. There's hardly anything newsworthy about what I'm saying here. The point should be made that at no time did I see any front page story in anybody's newspaper about the events that you have described in your book, and have events which incidentally have never been refuted by anybody. So we are left to speculate now in 1988 what we should have known about our candidate in 1960. We're talking about a man after whom Catholic schools were named, not to mention a few airports. Have you any thought about And incidentally, when you were a guest at the White House, and it's on the record, your name is on the White House logs, as are more than 70 phone calls which transpired between you and the president on the record. You tell us you walked into the White House, you walked past the press section.
Yeah, I had to sign in every time I went. I went the area where the Oval Office is. It's the west side of the White House, and you go through the West Gate. And I would sometimes sit for a few minutes in the waiting room before someone came out to escort me to either the dining room or just where Evelyn Lincoln was.
Right. You won't think me patronizing to say, first of all, let me establish that you and I are about the same age. You are a very attractive woman. In 1960, it is not an exaggeration to say, you were a stunner. Now, we can only speculate on what would happen today if someone with your considerable gifts of beauty would pass by Sam Donaldson into the...
Oh, but things are very different now.
Now, that's my question.
Yes.
Are they different for the better, in your opinion?
Yes, I think so. I think that very possibly in some areas the press has overextended their curiosity, but I think that Jack was allowed to really get away with far too much. I didn't know it then, but I was not the only woman in Jack's life. There were numerous women that he was seeing, and I think that does, and this is not, and I don't want it misunderstood, because I was a great admirer of his, and I think that it's important that we know a great deal more than we knew about Jack, that we know more about our leaders. And the press, there was a code of silence as far as his conduct was concerned. They did not write about it. The only person that ever wrote about it was Walter Winchell in 1962. He mentioned my name and he said, Judith Campbell of Beverly Hills and Palm Springs is topic number one in the highest of political circles. That's the closest anyone ever came.
Washington Post played the story of your, when your name was made public, that story appeared on page six. Scripps Howard did some rather more aggressive work on this issue in the early, in the mid-70s. Now, one final question before we let the audience question you. You have had a radical mastectomy. You've had one lung removed. You had a baby in 1965, which you surrendered after a year, with ensuring, by way of legal instruments, that she would never know her true maternal origin, because you don't want to involve her in whatever your past may be.
Because the FBI at that time were still harassing me.
You are now separated from your husband, with whom you tell us you enjoy an amicable relationship.
Yes, very.
Your doctor has told you you have 3 years to live.
Yes.
Here's my question. You were a beautiful young woman who was raised in wealth and naturally found yourself surrounded by wealthy and powerful people. But you do appear to have been used, considerably used. And now, 25 years later, you look up to find yourself alone and in grave health. You might be Exhibit A at the feminist convention. If anybody has reason for rage and bitterness, it would seem to be you. How do you feel about my observation?
Well, I can agree partially. I don't feel bitter. I think that I was young and foolish. That's part of what got me involved with a married man. And please understand, I will be held accountable for my actions, and I am perfectly willing to be held accountable for my actions. I think the difficult part has been for me that somehow I'm made accountable for everyone else's actions, for Jack's actions, for Sam's actions, and that part of it, I'm not bitter, but I don't think it's at all fair. And it's part of the reason for my telling the true story. I'd have never, ever let anyone know about my relationship with Jack had the Intelligence Committee not leaked my name. I went back and appeared before that committee in complete secrecy. They heard my testimony on a Saturday when the town would be quiet. I never said a word to anyone, but it was the committee. It was half of the committee who wanted to release my name, the other half didn't.
And when your name was released, much of America said, I wonder who this hooker is.
Absolutely.
And you wanted to set your, you wanted to restore your reputation and set the record straight?
Plus, they were putting me in grave danger. By my not responding and my not making myself available, they were more or less hunting me down, and they were speculating as to what the truth was. They were speculating on exactly what I've told, the truth that I've told now. But I really believe that had I told the truth at that time, I wouldn't be alive today. Johnny Roselli appeared before that committee, and he was dead a year later.
John Roselli's body was found in an oil drum in Biscayne Bay, or Dumbfounding Bay, out near Miami. Sam Giancana was shot in the head 7 times as he prepared breakfast in the basement of his Oak Park home for the man who was to be his murderer. And, of course, John F. Kennedy is also dead. We are in Los Angeles with Judith Campbell Exner, who, by the way, appears here voluntarily and without fee, and we'll be back in just a moment.
Kennedy knew about you, and if so, did you have any confrontations with her?
No, I never met her. And I really don't know if she knew anything about me or for that matter, any of the other women in Jack's life.
Jack was seeing you while she was pregnant.
I believe so.
Do you have any idea where was she? Did you ever know?
Well, she didn't. I know that she didn't spend a lot of time at the White House. But I didn't. I'm not proud of the fact that I went with a married man, and it was very hard for me, and I did not, we didn't discuss her.
Right.
I would never have discussed her with him.
Right. But you did see the president in the presidential bedroom at the White House.
Yes, there are 2 bedrooms that connect.
One with twin beds and one with a double bed.
Yes.
And you would see, in an intimate way, the president of the United States in his quarters on the second floor of the White House in the room with the double bed.
Yes. And we did, when I went for lunch and for dinner, we were in the private quarters in the dining room.
Did you ever smoke pot with the president?
No. No, that was, well, I only know from the published reports, I believe that was the woman that was murdered, Mary Meyer. I think that was the woman that they say smoked pot with him. And whether it's true or not, I have absolutely no idea.
Are you there, caller? Go ahead.
Yes, I am. I just wanted to say that I've moved to Boston about a year and a half ago. And while here, I've noticed that there's a Kennedy myth and that Bostonians have a convenient memory and that they're beyond reproach here and that they still get elected somehow, despite even things such as Chappaquiddick. And even though that this information may not be timely, it's very important to eliminate the perpetuation of a myth that keeps Ted Kennedy in office, elects young Joe Kennedy, and gives Rose Kennedy parades in Hyannis every summer. It's very important to expose these things.
Oh, hi, Judith. Did you and Jack Kennedy ever discuss your keeping quiet about what you knew?
No, not at all.
She was talking about timeliness earlier. It just seems strange how all the religious people are coming forward about their sex scandals now. Did that have any type of effect at all on you coming forth now?
No. Partially my condition, my health condition, and it has always troubled me that I was unable to tell the truth about it. And also with the Iran-Contra business and the cover-ups, I really felt that it was something that should be told. I really think that if you were an admirer of Jack Kennedy, he can withstand the information.
And we'll be back in a moment.
He was married, and the only discussion that was ever in that vein was that he told me if he did not get the nomination, they would be divorced, and then if he was not elected, he said they would be divorced. Those 2 times, but he never said that he was divorcing his wife for me or for anyone else. It was a mutual decision between the two of them, and I was introduced to him by Frank Sinatra.
Are you there, caller? Thank you for
yes,
waiting.
Yes, I am, so thank you. Judith, you have to be commended for coming forward at this time.
Thank you.
Here's my question. It's widely known that Bobby Kennedy, who was Attorney General during his brother's administration, went after the mob with everything at his disposal. And it's also been rumored that the mob was somehow involved in the assassination of JFK as sort of a reprisal against Bobby. Would you care to comment, or how do you account for this in light of the seemingly cozy relationship you described JFK had with the mob?
Well, I really can't account for it because there are so many reports in so many different areas, and there's so much speculation that I can only report on what I know and what my participation was in this story that I have reported. I know absolutely nothing about anything else.
Okay,
yes,
thank you.
Mrs. Exner, we highly commend your courage.
Thank you.
Are you taking precautions to safeguard your health at this present time?
Well, to tell you the truth, I really feel a bit safer now than I have all these years, because I don't know who within the Kennedy circle knew about the situation, nor do I know who on Sam's side knew about it. So if I was really in danger, it was before I revealed these facts.
Yes. As a woman, I can't believe she didn't look in those envelopes. I know I would be ripping them open.
Recently, have you been in contact with Frank Sinatra, or have you talked to him recently?
No, not for many, 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 many years.
Yes, Judith, being 21 and the presidential election coming up, what type of president are we going to elect? I mean, we have allegations of him smoking pot, you know, dating all different types of women. I mean, what type of man is he? I mean, looking from my perspective, he was some great Catholic, you know, with charisma and everything. I'm kind of bewildered.
Well, I think, unfortunately, our view of these people is a bit superficial sometimes. I think that the digging they're doing now into the lives of the candidates, I think, is very important.
Yes. Very good.
Hi, Judith.
Very good.
Yeah. 28 years later, I'm trying to understand what real value this has for the American people, our society, and
tell
how
me
we
what
picked.
You think. Tell me how you feel about it.
I can understand why you want to tell your story, and I congratulate you for being here and being so open with us. But I just think that it's far too long past.
Let it go. It's old news.
Exactly.
What? Who is the father of that child?
She's not going to say. Yes.
It would seem that President Kennedy owed Sam Giancana an immense political debt. Do you have any idea how that was paid?
I have no idea.
Thank you for waiting, caller. Go ahead.
I am hurt, first of all. And after all this time, if this woman has been given 3 years to live, tell me, ma'am, why didn't you just go out and talk? Who cares now? Why didn't you go out and talk? Frankly, I don't believe it. Why didn't you choose to go out and on top instead of revealing all of this sordid affair of yours?
I think that it's important. I have taken a great deal of abuse, and my family has also. And I really think that historically it's important that the facts come out. But I don't think that that my family should have to live with the things that have been said, and I think the truth is very important.
And we'll be back in a moment. Los Angeles with Judith Exner at NBC Burbank. Are you there? Thank you for waiting. Go ahead.
Ms. Exner, you state that you were a mistress of JFK. We also know that Marilyn Monroe was one, too. Do you think there is a connection between her death and the mob?
No, I really don't know, and I really couldn't speculate on it.
That name never surfaced in any of your socializing with these people?
No.
Yes?
I was interested to know the relationship with Kitty Kelly, with her being with Frank Sinatra and the mob and all that. How did you come to know?
She reported on, she did the book on Frank Sinatra.
Right, and all the problems with the mob she said.
Liz Smith, who a columnist in New York, who is a very dear friend of mine, she suggested that Kitty write this story.
You didn't know her before?
I had met her on the phone.
You had met Kitty Kelly before?
Never in person, just on the phone.
This role of being a messenger, it seems, would be vitally important before the election. I'd like to know how long the messenger service continued after the election.
And what was the time frame of the messenger service?
Through the end of '61.
So the messenger servicing began during the campaign. and proceeded through and following the inauguration.
Yes.
Until the president's, well,
yes.
Your relationship with him ended.
Middle of 62.
Yes, sir.
I think it's people like this that let us know what kind of a government that we got. If she didn't come forward, we'd be guessing what's going on. And the second question is, very briefly, how much of this stuff goes on in Washington and other politicians and so forth with all their girlfriends? I think plenty of it.
Yes.
Hi, I'm from Boston. I just want to know, you say you're not the type person to have an affair with a married man. Are you the type to have an affair with a mass murderer?
I didn't.
Giancana is the man about
if
whom she speaks.
If you think back, and well, you are too young, but in 1960, we didn't know who Sam Giancana was, and I knew him as Sam Flood, and when I finally found out he was Sam Giancana, the name Giancana didn't mean anything to me. It was only later on that I found out exactly who he was, and most of the country. Yeah. It was later.
I was wondering, what's the biggest regret about that time in your life?
Ever having gone through it.
Yes.
I'm considering the power and the influence that the three men that you were involved with had, weren't you ever frightened?
I was frightened after, once I was harassed by the FBI, I was very frightened.
Yeah. Was the president aware that you were seeing Sam Giancana at the same time?
I wasn't seeing Sam Giancana, and that's the misconception. I was meeting with Sam Giancana only for Jack. I was only seeing him to pass the envelopes or the information and to set up meetings. It wasn't until after I was no longer seeing Jack that Sam and I became close friends. And that was only for a matter of a couple of months.
Did you not tell Jack that you were upset that the FBI was all over your house, your driveway,
oh, yes,
and your...
Yes.
And he said, don't worry, what?
He would say, don't worry about it. You've never done anything wrong. You're not doing anything wrong. He said, Sam works for us.
Sam works for us.
Yes.
You stand by that quote.
Absolutely.
So the President of the United States is saying that the leading mobster in the United States works for him.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'd like to know where you were when Kennedy was shot and what went through your mind about who was behind his killing.
I was in Beverly Hills and I was devastated for a very long time after it. But I don't believe that it was Oswald alone, but I can't speculate on who I do believe did it because I don't believe that it was just Oswald.
I want to know, like every red-blooded American here, what are you going to do with the money when you die? Are you going to give it to charity? You say you don't know your daughter anymore. What are you going to do with the money?
I haven't thought about that. It would be the same thing I would do with any other finances that I have.
Yes.
Was it worth it? And what is your impression of the Camelot administration?
I can't really answer it objectively because I have found that I have these feelings built up in myself, and politically, even now, I can't look at the candidates objectively because I'm always seeing something that possibly isn't even there. I really can't be objective about it.
Yes.
Did you get any fee at all for the messengers?
Did they pay you for sir?
No. No.
Having exposing this material, are there any family members that you're concerned about with protection?
Of my family?
Yes.
No, now that I'm really not worried now that I have told the story. I was worried before I told the story.
Yes.
Through your contact with both men, did any of them either indicate any other previous presidential contact with the mafia?
No.
Yes.
Well, I think the caller was right that the public does have a right to know if our president is dealing with the mafia, and I'd also like to know your feelings on being called a hooker while Kennedy, the fair-haired boy, was the one committing adultery.
And we'll be back in just a moment. Thank you for waiting, caller. I have very little time.
Yes, looking back, Mrs. Exner, knowing what you know now, would you do this again?
Oh, no. No. Too much heartache has come from this, not only mine, but my family, and I am sure Mrs. Kennedy has had a great deal of heartache since this information has been revealed in 1975.
Were your feelings so overpowering for Jack that you would involve yourself with the mafia and lose your child afterwards?
Well, that's lumping a whole lot together, but losing my child was in 1965, and this was all...
The mafia's bad. Why would you do something?
Well, she's claiming she did not appreciate the power or the nature of Sam Flood Giancana's work.
I didn't know who he was.
You said you knew, you feel safer now that you've spoken up, yet you also said that you didn't speak up before because you felt unsafe. I don't understand.
Well, it's just the natural progression of what was going to make me safe and what wasn't. I was afraid to speak up, and then realizing what was going on, I became more afraid not to.
Yeah, I don't appreciate you coming forward. And I was trying to think of, what the hell were you doing seeing a married man? What about the ramifications of us as a country? I mean, did
service
that ever enter your
provided
mind?
Provided and promotional
yeah,
fees paid
Bill,
by the
can you
following.
Give me a day with this girl right here?